We just sent somebody to Carlsbad to visit Legoland, and I'm sure, as Jay pointed out, great time of year to visit Carlsbad in the San Diego area. Kyle Draper, Kyle the Raptor Draper, he is in Toronto now, arrived a short time ago. We're going to be talking to him. We got Drape Stakes coming up. Get his view of the Kings and the Raptors from the frozen north. Not sure how frozen it is here, but we're also going to get the inside word on what's going on with the Kings' opponent tomorrow night. We're going to be joined by the Raptors TV analyst. That's coming up just a second here. It's Whitey Gleason, and you got Jay, and then Drape's going to join us as well. Kings last night with a big win, overtime win over the Memphis Grizzlies. And yeah, it's like, well, they should beat that team a lot easier than that. Don't want to hear about it right now. There's no such thing, as I've said a million times. There are no bad wins. There are no good losses. A win is a win. Hopefully they can get another one tomorrow night. Are we ready, Jay? Yeah, nice enough to join us here. Raptors TV analyst, played 9 years in the association. Alvin Williams with us. Alvin, thanks so much for your time. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing great. I hope you don't mind. I got to ask you this to start. What was it like playing with a young Vince Carter? That had to be unforgettable.
You know, it's amazing. I'm just watching NBA TV, and they're talking about the 2000 dunk contest, and I'm just living. I'm talking to my kids about it, and they're like, did you play with him, Daddy? I was like, heck yeah. I played with him. I was watching him a lot because I was on the bench most of the time. But that was amazing because, you know, I got a chance to play against Vince when he was in North Carolina, and I was at Villanova. So he was a freshman, and I was a junior. And then I was drafted 1 year before Vince. So I just saw him come in. You know, he's the fifth pick, got traded for Antoine and that swap. But, you know, just him, that explosion, and the explosion of him just, you know, overnight. It didn't seem like it took long for him to step on the floor and start making big plays, exciting dunks, game-winning shots his rookie year. And I just remember Vince and I used to go to the mall together when we first got to Toronto after that lockout year. No one knew. Like, people would know who Vince was, but I swear to God, 2 weeks later, we couldn't go anywhere, man. We couldn't go anywhere. And then it just flooded in the States, not just in Canada or Toronto. You know, a lot of people really didn't recognize Toronto Raptors as an NBA team pretty much, but he put everything on the map. So it was a phenomenal time getting a chance to play with him and then just being his teammate. You know what I mean? He's a great dude. His mom was great. It was a joy to watch him play and develop, especially with our veteran guys and coaches helping him along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alvin Williams, nice enough to join us. So you were, you know, about that time, you're a young NBA player, and that was also Jason Williams came into the league that same year, J. Will. So you were a young player when Weber, Divac, J. Will, when those Kings came into existence. What stands out to you about the way, and I know you guys are in the East, you don't see the Kings a lot, but what stands out to you about the way Mike Brown has turned things around here in Sacramento the last couple of years? Here it's kind of similar to what happened way back then. Do you see any similarities? What stands out to you?
That excitement, that crowd, man, that's unbelievable. Back then, you know, they were playing in the Arcor Arena, and it was smaller, but the crowd was right on you, those damn cowbells and that. But it was always exciting. And then, you know, J. Will, you know, he was an exciting player. And, you know, today he would just be even more. I think people, you know, frowned a little bit about his style and, you know, the way he played, shot selection and his passes. But in a game today, he would be one of those top players still because he had that ability and the way they passed and moved the ball under Rick Alderman and the coaching style and Vladislav Divac and Vladi Divac. And now I just see the excitement of the team. You have another great guard in Fox, and you just see that team still playing with that energy. But again, you know, they that was a lot of excitement, and those teams are very, very good. I want to say even when, you know, Bibby came and they start making that push for the finals, Western Conference Finals, they just were ahead of the curve with the ball movement, the body movement, the bigs that to facilitate as well, you know. So it's a very talented team, and I see this team, same thing. Sabonis being able to do a lot of things, handling the ball, passing the ball, still had that physical presence. And again, the guards, the shooting. So it's very similar. And you guys had my main man, Doug Christie,
who's
the defensive guy and can make shots as well. So that was a very talented team, man. And saying, I think it's a very talented this year. Not as talented as those teams back in the day, but this is a very good team. It's good excitement for that city of Sacramento.
Alvin, it's funny you mentioned the cowbells, because last night I was going downstairs to the interview room or something, and in the concourse they had, I think someone had sponsored this, some company, I don't know, but they had this table, and these people were going up, and they had these little things on the table in the concourse, and they were these little tiny cowbells, and people were like, oh, look at that. And I was remembering, now, if I'm not mistaken, when you played, visiting, your players had to listen to fans with a big, they had the big old cowbells.
Yeah, they had the big cowbells. There wasn't no little tinkerbells. These things are the real deal. These things are coming straight off the farm or wherever to get them cowbells from. But yeah, they were the real deal back then.
Yeah, I think they've passed rules now where they outlaw some of those
something
big cowbells.
Like that.
Yeah,
I think they have. Joined by Alvin Williams, TV analyst for the Toronto Raptors. Alvin, I mean, I think when most people talk about the Toronto Raptors, they start with Scottie Barnes at the moment. But speak to some of the other youngsters that's on the team and you know, the last 15, 16 games for you guys trying to make a move.
No, you're right. You know, Scottie Barnes, I think a lot of his ability and what people are projecting him to be and what he's shown so far, I think that's where you see a lot of those trades when you trade a Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby, and you know, you move forward with Fred VanVleet, all those great players and done so much for the Raptors and their history in the past. You know, they're going in a different direction, which you see a lot of teams do at certain points. But Scottie Barnes is the guy that can lead the charge. But, you know, you got the trade after you traded OG Anunoby for R.J. Barrett and IQ Emmanuel Quickly. Those guys are really stepping into their own, right? They're getting an opportunity to play through mistakes. It's a different type of offense. Coach Darko Rajakovic, he has the spread out offense, pass, ball movement, body movement, cutting, screening, and they're really finding themselves opportunities to really maximize their spacing and moving without the ball. So they're all young players, very young, 22, 23, I think two of them 23 and 22 years old. So they're very young, getting a lot of experience. The only thing you wish that they could be playing together at this time, this chunks of the season, because they still could give themselves an opportunity for that play-in. So, but with the injuries, but the younger players are really, they're coming along. And you have Grady Dick, he's getting an opportunity as a draft pick, lottery pick for the Raptors, and he's really shooting the ball well. He has a lot of skill. He's showing a lot. And again, it's so valuable that these young guys can really play, you know, and get experience of a game time experience. So it's a good opportunity for them. The only thing I say, I wish they could play together, you know, excluding those injuries. Now the injuries, they can't really get court time and that, you know, that team time together, but they are getting valuable experience and they are showing some positive flashes of the future.
Alvin Williams with us, used to play for the Raptors. He's a Raptors TV analyst. You mentioned Coach Darko. And of course we had a situation here. Mike Brown, he had his computer out after a game, and he was showing the media, you know, some officials' calls that he wasn't happy about. We know that Coach Rajakovic just went off after a loss to the Lakers, very impassioned. Yeah, and I know, you know, it's easy to laugh at, and I get that, but it's also because it was so unusual. But I'm wondering, Alvin, you as a former player, what kind of message did that send to his players? And I know that was January, so they're not all the same players now, but especially the younger players, seeing your coach go out and defend you like that. What kind of message did that send to the young players on the team?
I think it's a positive message. It's a message, of course, you know, that you can say our coach has our back. You know, he stated in that press conference when you're talking about Scottie Barnes as the future of this league. So you're giving your young player that people are leaning on confidence. And as a player, young player especially, you love to have that confidence and that support from your coach. That helps, you know, leaps and bounds when you are playing and you are developing. So I think it sends a message. And, you know, even you guys are talking about it. Everyone's talking about it. So it doesn't just send a message to the team. It sends a message to the league and other players. That's a coach that, you know, I wouldn't mind playing for. You know, that's, you know, players, they evaluate coaches. They evaluate situations. They're not saying they're going to jump the gun and go play for them necessarily. But you will have that in the back of your mind that you would love to play for a coach that stands up for the team, no matter what the situation is. And one thing I can say about Coach Darko is he's been very, very consistent through the times that they had some big wins, from the times they're struggling now, I think seven straight losses, and you know, players getting traded. And this team has changed about three times this year. So he's been very, very consistent. You know, you meet him in the hallway, still meet you and greet you and say hello. after win or loss. You see him before the game. So he's been very consistent. As a former player, I appreciate that because I've seen a lot of coaches, you know, they may not even speak to you after a loss or, you know, they get so wrapped up in their job. So I appreciate what he's doing and everything across the board. Everyone I've talked to as far as former players and coaches, they've all said the same thing about his personality, his character, and he hasn't showed anything different since he stepped foot in Canada.
Well, we've been saying that for years that the Lakers get all the calls, so it's about time. I mean, welcome to the club, Darko. We've been saying that for 20 years, Alvin. He's right, so we got his back on that.
I feel you.
Alvin, I would like to ask you about Bruce Brown as someone I was clamoring and hoping and wishing and, you know, the Kings would have went after this past offseason, and I think you would probably second that, like he's a ball player. But I want to ask you about experience of Toronto. You've been around there. You've been an assistant coach for Toronto. You know what it is, as you just talked about with Vince Carter. After the championship, since the championship compared to now, like, how's the city with basketball? Is it still in love? Because we got to see, like, when, you know, on television out here, we got to see Toronto going all up when it was during the NBA Finals.
It was
the one. How's life been in Toronto since?
It's been good. The one thing about the Canadian crowd and the Toronto fan base, they've always been supportive. Even when I was there, we weren't winning. I remember my first year there, we were 16-66. So they've always come out, and they didn't have the knowledge, they didn't have the understanding of the game at that point. So over years, over the time, they started understanding more. They started having guys like Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady and Chris Bosh and then Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan and, you know, and then Kawhi Leonard. So they start experiencing certain players, superstar players, and they start experiencing very good teams. They had some legendary coaches and Lenny Wilkins, and then, you know, Dwayne Casey has come through there. So they've started experiencing what other NBA teams have experienced. And they had, of course, to get, you know, management had to get straight. Ownership had to get straight. So there was a lot of turnover before they got to that point in 2019 and win a championship. But the fan base is still there. Now, I think they're a little spoiled. I think, you know, they may not be as patient as they were in the past years with us when we weren't that good and the expectations weren't high. But I think they definitely come out and support. They definitely have a feel of a loyalty because it's the only team in the country. And I think that lends a hand. It's not just can't just be a fair weather. They have a very certain, a good passion for the team because they're not just saying, this is Toronto, this is Vancouver, this is Edmonton, this is Calgary, this is Quebec, this is Montreal, I'm sorry. So the fan base is really strong, and it's amazing because you go to all these other cities, and it's a strong fan base wherever Toronto plays. It's a good group of fans that will come out and support, and it's really cool experience.
So, Alvin Williams, we know tomorrow night the Kings are taking on a very young Raptors team, and I think this illustrates that better than anything else I could come up with. My understanding is, and so I want to ask you, is it true that when the Raptors, I think they won three straight, that they're so young that they won three straight and they had a pizza party? Is that accurate?
No, that's not accurate. Nah.
That was reported. I bought it.
Well, guess what? If they did, I wasn't invited to it. So I think that was something that was thrown out there.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was a dinner or something was supposed to have happened. And somebody said a pizza party. I'm not sure how that got out there, but you know, I can almost be 100% sure that they didn't have a pizza party after they won three straight.
But they are a young team. Yeah.
That's a defamation of character. They're trying to kill my Toronto Raptors.
I know. I will show you the story. I didn't.
Don't be believing that, Whitey.
I bought it all the way.
Come on, man.
So it is a young team, though, right? The Kings are playing a very young team tomorrow. Pizza party or not, right?
Yeah, it's a young team. And again, they're young, is even younger since, you know, Scottie's out and Pirtle's out. And I'm not sure if R.J. Barrett has, you know, horrific news with his family, his younger brother passing away. So it's a lot of things going on with the team internally. But, you know, they are young, and that's the challenge, right? They will stay in the game. They compete. They play hard. And then it's those that three-and-a-half quarters you play well, and then that fourth quarter you're trying to figure it out. That little half of the fourth quarter you're trying to figure out who's going to take the shot, who's going to get the stop, who's going to lead this charge or wherever. So those are some of the challenges that the team have, but you will see some players playing well, like very well in some moments. So it's a positive spot for those who are trying to earn their spot and trying to, you know, get the coach's confidence. It's just, it's, you know, it's an audition for a lot of the players as well, for other teams and the coaching staff in Toronto.
Hey, Alvin, I just want to share this because I want you to know I meant no disrespect. I'm looking here, Sports Illustrated from February 29th. Raptors get their pizza party following Thursday's practice. Bleacher Report, Raptors pizza party goes viral. So maybe they were kind of putting one over on us. Huh? It was all kind of a wink, wink.
Yeah, maybe. Again, I didn't get the invitation. If I did, if they had it, I'm pissed off. Right.
Thank you, Alvin. We appreciate
you, Al.
Thanks for having it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Yeah. Raptors coach shares story behind the pizza party dinner. So there was something there. I didn't want Alvin Williams to think I was making fun of the Raptors. Raptors won't be going for pizza, but Darko Rajakovic says he will take the team out for a fancy dinner following. Okay. It was kind of a joke. They said, we're going to go out for pizza. I see. And then the coach said, well, that was kind of a joke. We're going to go out to a nice dinner. So I guess it wasn't literally a pizza party. That was all a joke, Jay. That's all that was. But it wasn't my joke. I wasn't making fun of him. We're going to take a timeout. Is Drapes going to join us here when we come back? All right. Kyle Draper from Toronto. Next, we got Drapes Takes coming up. I know you've been waiting for it. Thanks for your patience. It's coming up here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown. All right, here's the latest. We found out today that Kevin Huerter has a dislocated left shoulder. Not sure how long he's going to be out. We also found out that Sasha Vezenkov, at last check, was listed as questionable with a sprained ankle.
Mr. Vezenkov
could be available tomorrow. We're also wondering about Katie Christensen's foot. We know that she was stomped on last night during the broadcast by her overzealous partner. So let's find out if he has an update. Joining us from Toronto, Kyle Draper. What's up, Drapes?
Hey, what is up, fellas? What is up? I am happy to report Katie is A-OK. She's on the trip. No limp, no, you know, no orthotic boot or anything like that. You know what I mean? She might got some extra thick socks on or something like that, but that's not because of me, man. She's good to go, fellas. She's
good, good. How exciting was that broadcast yesterday?
Oh, it was amazing, right? It was, you know, we've been riding this roller coaster all season long, and we rode the roller coaster during the game yesterday. I mean, they were in control of it. Then they let Memphis back in. And I said, it was a point in the third quarter. I turned to Katie. I said, this is a scary time right now, because this is a time where either A, if you're the Kings, you can bury them, or B, you give Memphis life. They gave Memphis life, and Memphis roared back, dominated that fourth quarter. And I'll be honest, we lucky we went into overtime. Mm-hmm. Like if Foxy doesn't hit that shot to tie it up, you know, we're talking about another awful loss with the Sacramento Kings, man.
Yeah. I know we got Drapes Takes coming up, and people literally have been waiting, you know, in the chats. Like, I think they're coming up next. So are you ready for us to get going with that, sir?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Here they are, Drapes Takes from Toronto.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
I got to start off, Drapes Takes, with my guy, Domantas Sabonis. And here's why, Whitey and Jay. We can look at the 25 points. We can look at the 18 rebounds, the 5 assists, the 2 block shots. That's box score diving. You know I'm not about that, fellas. I'm not about just looking at the box score. I saw the eye test. He dominated Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren Jackson Jr. is still hoping to knock down the layup, because I thought Domantas Sabonis challenged everything Jaren Jackson Jr. did. And when you look at Jaren Jackson's numbers, I mean, sure, he got to the line 9 times, but Domantas Sabonis forced him outside. And then when he went up with that weak left hand, Domas was right there. And so I want to give Domas some love on the defensive end last night. I thought he was tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely. The Kings all around playing last 4 games. Jay and I were talking about this. A lot better defense, right? Everywhere you look, someone's playing better defense.
Yeah, and not only that, when you look at the numbers from the overtime period, which is winning time, that's when you've got to step up. 5 block shots, I believe it was, in the OT. 2 steals in the OT. They really clamped down on the Memphis Grizzlies. And that brings me to my next point, and that's my guy, Keon Ellis. Whitey, I've been telling you all season long.
You have.
Gotta be.
I know. I don't know why I wouldn't listen to you.
Yeah, Jay, you guys just don't listen to me. Sometimes you got to listen to the experts, fellas, and let me do my thing.
Is that your guy?
That's my guy. Keon Ellis
is
my guy, especially after a five-block night. And I'm sad to see my guy Kevin Herter go down. You know, it hurts because I thought Red Velvet was off to a solid start in terms of his intensity, his activity yesterday, and then he goes down with the shoulder injury. But I'll say this. With Keon Ellis now likely moving in the starting lineup, I can make the case, fellas, that the Sacramento Kings have the best defensive starting lineup backcourt in the NBA. Starting backcourt. Like him and De'Aaron Fox, they can wreak havoc. I thought those two guys made the three biggest defensive plays of the game. Keon, obviously, with the block at the rim, where he tagged it against the board. The block on the Desmond Bane three, and I thought De'Aaron Fox came up with a huge steal late in that game. They have the potential to be the best defensive backcourt in the entire NBA.
We know that with Keon, it's all about defense, but, you know, offensively, it was 2-for-4, hit 1 of 2 threes. Would you also say, Drapes, that maybe Keon Ellis's offense is coming around?
No, I'm not giving you that. I'm not giving you that. It's okay. You know, he's doing an all right job.
Yeah.
But when you score 5 points, I'm not giving you it's the offense is coming around. Whitey, I could roll out of bed right now in my house shoes and get 5 points, big fella.
Really?
So I'm not going to, you know, sing the praises of my guy Keon Ellis just yet. He's not coming around. He is what he is, you know?
Uh-huh.
Knock down some open shots, you know, get out in transition. That's all you're asking for from Keon Ellis.
Gotcha. By the way, your guy Marcus Smart had an impact on the game even though he wasn't suited up. That's amazing.
That was amazing. That was Marcus Smart doing Marcus Smart thing.
Yeah.
And it was a critical technical or ejection because, you know, the Grizzlies still were within a fighting shot, but that took it from, I think, an 8 to a 10-point lead or a 6 to an 8, mm-hmm. something like that. And I'm like, dude, you're in street clothes. What are you? But that's Marcus Smart right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
That's the guy I wanted on the Kings, man. He cost them, partially cost them a game. That was crazy. Let me get to my last Drapes tape because I don't think we're giving the Kings enough for their free throw shooting since the All-Star break, Whitey. Remember when they were throwing up bricks left and right? That was a topic of discussion night in and night out. Now the team is knocking them down. How about last night? 26 of 32, 81%. I'll take that. And I'll go back to my guy, Domantas Sabonis. 13 of 15. They're freebies. They're free to you. And I thought that was huge last night. Physical game. The Kings got to the line, and they made the free throws. That's what I was excited about. You know, there were a couple missed lates where, you know, you groaned a little bit like, oh, come on, guys. But for the most part, they've been doing a much better job knocking down the free throws.
Absolutely. My
Definitely
two favorite free throws, by the way, were after, unfortunately, you know, Kevin got hurt. And then so the Grizzlies can pick whoever they want to shoot the free throws. And they go to Alex Len. And he knocked them both down, baby.
Yes. Big Alex Len. He was a big part, too.
Yeah.
I thought that first half, he was tremendous. He had 2 block shots, 6 points. Speaking of free throws, let me just set the record straight. I don't know if you guys watched the broadcast last night. But Keegan Murray had been on fire from the free throw line. 33 straight free throws.
Oh,
you didn't do it. It's not your fault, Drapes. I know where you're going.
Oh, no.
It's not your fault,
Jay.
You were mid-sentence.
Straight.
Yes.
Exactly. I didn't even get out the statement. And the producer, who I'm not going to name because I don't want to throw him under the bus, he throws up the graphic. And I'm like, oh, and I knew this stat. And last game, I didn't say anything. And he made him. This time, he's like, yeah, look at this stat. So I'm about to say the stat. Keegan Murray, 33 straight, you know, second current among active players. And then he clanked them. And now people are tweeting at me, fellas, Drapes, you jinxed them. I tell you what, if what I say got an impact on the game, we got bigger problems than some missed free throws. I tell you that. So I'm just setting the record straight. I'm not jinxing my guys. You know that.
But you said before you were reluctant to do it. Obviously, it's not your fault. I'm not trying to blame you, but you said last game you were like, you know that you're going to get criticized if that happens, right?
Right, exactly. And that's why I didn't say it last time. But this time I said, you know what? I'm Drapes. I don't care what these fools out here think. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, Jay. Tell him, Jay. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. As soon as I uttered, like, half a syllable, clank. I was like, oh, man.
I saw that. I was like, oh. And then you immediately go to Katie. That wasn't my fault, was it? And Katie's like, she positive affirmation. She's like, no, it wasn't your fault, Drapes.
Because I knew what was coming. I knew that smoke was coming. I'm like, oh, they're going to get after me over that. So it was not my fault, ladies and gentlemen. Keegan's just got to be better from the free throw line. That's
yes.
all it is.
Yeah. Yes.
He just got to knock him down.
Real quick, too, Drapes, because, and this is something I definitely wanted to ask. When you're in that position, were you just thinking about saying, like, Keegan has a streak going on and that's it? Like, have you ever just thought about keeping it so generic so you don't take the heat?
Yeah, yes, 100%, Jay. But last night in that moment, I said, you know what? I'm going to just say it. And because I have faith in my guy, you know, I was like, Keegan ain't going to let me down. He's flowing. He's playing well. He's going to knock these down. As soon as I said it, he threw up the brick. I was like, oh, bro, you let me down. But yes, it's something you think about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you try. I think last game I sort of massaged it. You know, I said, you know, he's been knocking down his free throws at a high rate lately or something like that, but not actually saying it. But last night, I was going to say it, man. I was going up for that slam dunk, that layup, and he just like, nope, Drapes, not today. And it killed me, man. So that's Drapes Takes, fellas. It's brought to you by Ausco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Ausco Uniforms.
Drapes, I got a question for you. You know, obviously, we did the show there, so I was there last night. I saw you after the game, so I didn't get to hear you guys. I'm wondering, and I wish we had got to hear them, and we don't have them today, your calls on the dunks. Which of the Malik dunks was your favorite, and how did you call them last night?
There were the two massive, well, he had three, actually.
Yeah.
I think the Keon block to the Fox alley-oop to Malik Monk was my favorite.
Yeah.
Because it's like you see that block shot, and you get so high, and then you realize, oh, snap, a dunk coming. I got to get even higher. So it was like, oh, you know, and that's the play, I believe, where I stomped on Katie's foot.
Oh.
And so that has to be my favorite.
Did you jump? Like, did you feel yourself getting out of the seat like that?
Oh, 100%,
okay.
Dude. I stood up. Like, I shot up, you know, and – you know, I'm fist pumping. I'm telling you, man, you guys got to keep an eye. I'm fist pumping. I'm high-fiving fans behind me and everything. And so I got a little too excited on that. Poor Katie. And when I sat down, because I didn't even know what happened, when I sat down, I looked over and she had like a tear coming down her eye because I had stomped on her foot. And I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, you stomped on my foot. And I'm like, no way.
We're going to start calling you Kyle Drapes Green. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, I felt so bad. And, you know, I saw her today, obviously, on the flight. I'm like, you good? Your foot's good? She's like, yeah, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm 100%. She's good.
You got to be careful. No, she'll throw an elbow.
No idea.
You do it again, she'll throw an elbow. Yeah.
You know what? I think during Malik's first dunk, she did give me an elbow. So I was just a little payback, like the Bad Boy Pistons. I was like, oh, is that how we play in the day, Katie? I got something for you. But no, I felt so bad, man, because, you know, I mean, she had her nice little heels on and everything. And I shot up like a cannon, bro. I'm telling you. And I had no idea her foot was even there, man.
Before we let you go, Drapes, because I know the Toronto Night is calling you, a quick synopsis just today for tomorrow.
No, man, this is the game I'm worried about, actually, fellas, because the Memphis game, you know, they were already without everybody. Like, and we've known that. We've seen them without everybody before. This game, this is our first time playing Toronto. No Scottie Barnes, no RJ Barrett. Like, this Toronto team is severely shorthanded. No Emmanuel Quickly tomorrow. And so, to me, this is the test. Coming off a big win against Memphis. First night of a back-to-back. You got Washington tomorrow. Like, these two next games are the ones where I want to see the Kings resting Fox in the fourth quarter. I want to see, you know, Colby Jones out there. Slauson get some minutes. Like, if I'm a bench player for the Kings, if I'm a role player for the Kings, I'm like, fellas, when am I going to get my time? You know what I mean? These close games, I'm not seeing the court. And so I think these two next games, man, we got to handle our business. Toronto, they've lost 7 in a row, severely shorthanded. Let's handle our business tomorrow.
Hey, real quick, if we could, I know you got to go. I wonder how you would answer this question. Somebody on Twitter asked, it was Mr. McFunk. He said, like the win, welcome the win. We needed the win. But why did they need a Herculean OT effort to beat this injury-riddled Memphis squad at home? Why do you and Drapes need to give us answers? Bring it. My short answer was they didn't make threes. They turned the ball over too much, and Memphis played right. Well. Why would? And it's great. They won, so we don't have to worry about it. But how would you answer that question? Why did the Kings struggle as much as they did with that team?
Well, first of all, Memphis does have NBA players. Like Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane, they'll start on any team in the entire NBA. Yeah. And so they're two solid players. And G.G. Jackson, he got flowing. And it, what you see with the Sacramento Kings, fellas, is the same pattern over and over again. Anytime you give an NBA player just an ounce of confidence, they're trying to cook. Mm-hmm. And so G.G. Jackson hit 1 3. Then he hit 2. And then by that time, it's too late. And now you got to scrap and you got to fight. And one thing about the Kings, I don't know what's up with them, but some of them turnovers and just inopportune times, it's like almost the game speeds up for them too much, you know? And it, like they're chickens with their heads cut off. And I'm like, what are we doing? You know? And fortunately, they corrected themselves in overtime. But you're right. I thought the turnovers in the fourth quarter, I thought the confidence that you gave to Memphis, you know, early in that third quarter really, you know, helped them out the rest of the game. Like I said, watching the game and calling the game, I thought there was a period in the third quarter, you know, the Kings had a nice little healthy lead, 10 points at half, but Memphis quickly cut it to 3, I think it was. And I'm like, see, now you've given them confidence and now it's hard to turn off.
Great stuff, Drapes. Appreciate it very much. And then you and me tomorrow, right? You're on tomorrow before you do your broadcast. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we got an hour show tomorrow, right?
I think so, So, rest up.
I know. I'm going to get my beauty sleep, drink my milk, my warm milk, you know, watch some Murder, She Wrote. Quiet night for me tonight, fellas.
All right. Thank you, Drapes. Look forward to it. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. There he is from Toronto. So yeah, tomorrow we'll have an abbreviated show before game night and then the Kings and the Raptors. When we come back here, Draymond Green, and Jay just mentioned Draymond Green, just referenced him. Draymond Green, you won't believe this. He just said something really stupid. And we'll look at that when we come back. Oh, Draymond Green. Oh, that Draymond Green, huh? You know, Draymond Green and KD were great friends again. Until Draymond Green went in and did that weird thing where he punched Nurkic. Remember, they ended up getting suspended, whatever that was. And KD said something like, I just hope he gets the help he needs. So apparently Draymond didn't like that. So now they're at odds again. So Draymond Green says this on his podcast. The world will take this like the wrong way and try to make it something it's not when it's actually a compliment. I said Kyrie Irving is the scorer that the world thinks of Kevin Durant. It's like, come on, Draymond. Kevin Durant has 11,000 more career points than Kyrie Irving. So it's like, if you got an issue with the guy, deal with that. Talk to him, whatever. You don't do some sort of passive-aggressive thing on your podcast where you say something that doesn't make any sense. It's kind of sad, Jay. That's all. Don't need to spend a lot of time on it. It's just sad.
Yeah, it is. And it's typical Draymond. You know, actually, Whitey, I thought you were getting ready to talk about this comment Draymond Green made.
I must say I am a little upset that LeBron James is like going on a podcast and he still haven't been on the Draymond Green show. But when it's your own thing, you kind of can't say anything. So I guess I'll live with it for now. Pick the bone with him that I got to pick with him later.
Like Draymond just, you know, I'm actually a proponent of Draymond. I know that this has gotten me flambasted here on this air a few times.
Not a popular view necessarily.
It's not. I like what Draymond brings to the game because we just talked about it a little earlier during the show, Whitey, is I think Draymond has turned in the goon into a skill, you know, which we 15, 20 years ago, there were 20 Draymonds per team probably, you know, the G League, CBA at the time, the C League, but the Canadian League. But I think he has a place in the league right now. He does some over-the-top stuff. I understand, you know, he says some things that are, as you just talked about, doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, that's just wrong.
He's a character, though. Mm-hmm. He's a character, and he excites the league. He has people talking. He has us talking about it. And I think he is something that the league needs. I'm not sure they need heavy doses of him, if that makes sense.
It's going to be interesting to see how Draymond and his image, if you will, how that ages if, as it appears, the Warriors are kind of sliding towards being, you know, less relevant. And long ways to go. And they can still get the play-in, and they got Steph. And I know. But, you know, it was inevitable that at some point that thing's going to unravel. And if it is unraveling now, you know, last year, regular season, they were kind of, they beat the Kings. But then this year, regular season, they're, So, you know, maybe it's their, you know, the milk has passed its expiration date with them.
Absolutely.
So what is that going to mean for Draymond going forward? You know, is he going to have to reinvent himself or what's going to happen there? Could be interesting to see.
And why, meaning on the basketball court, reinvent himself?
Well, it's going to be hard for him to be so super edgy and everything if he's like, dude, you're not even playing anymore. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I think Draymond is sharp enough, and I think that's why I asked you that question is because I think he hasn't reinvented himself, but he has reinvented or he has created a career outside of basketball.
He has already done that, no question.
And so I think he's already set up. You know, we know he has a contract with TNT to do some things post basketball, his career. We see, you know, the podcast does very well because he says some controversial things. Mm-hmm. I think Draymond is smart enough and sharp enough to know when his time is done on the basketball court, he's gone. Like, and they may all bounce together, you know. Now with Klay kind of going through what he is, you know, we've seen whispers, we've heard things like this may be it for Klay because he's done after this year, doesn't need a contract or whatever it is. But I do think Draymond is sharp enough to probably play out this, you know, contract he just got, and then I think he walks away. I don't really see Draymond playing into his 40s because he doesn't have the body of work to do it. Like, I want to say the skill because he's a professional ball player, but I don't think he has the jump shot. I don't think, you know, some of the things he does great, Father Time is going to bring that down. It's going to slow that down.
I'll bet if he wanted to, and I'm with you, I don't think he would want to, but if he wanted to be like a Udonis Haslem type, he could do that,
great
but
point.
I just can't see why he would.
He's too – the one thing about UD is for a long time, the last 3, 4, 5 years before UD has jumped out of Miami, we didn't really hear nothing about that.
Right.
There's no way Draymond can go 4 or 5 years without being heard.
Just being at the end of the bench.
What?
He'd
be like yesterday, Marcus Smart. He'd have technicals every other game. You know, he'd be literally be – he'd be the first person to ever be suspended for not playing, you know, because the technicals on the side of the bench. I just truly believe he is sharp enough to know when to get out.
Yeah, as long as he can use his head and not let his emotions get the better of him, which, you know, looks like maybe now he has, now that he's gotten help. Because one thing I'll really agree with you on strongly is that I do think he's really a bright guy. And I know there's a lot of people go, well, but he's a very bright guy.
Yeah, when you do the research, you know, we're blessed to have a little more insight and talk to people. Draymond's not no fool, man.
No.
Now, he makes stupid mistakes on the court, but off the court, he's very calculated. He's on point in what he does. And don't get it twisted. The fact that we're talking about, you know, what he said podcast-wise, don't get it twisted. We saw during the All-Star game, he jumps around and, you know, him and Chuck were going back and forth. You know, Chuck said he's the ultimate backpack where Draymond was like, look, check my ring out and, you know, all these. Draymond knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And that's why I say as much as people don't like what he brings to, you know, the court, the one thing about it is he's smart enough to know that.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a skill. Mm-hmm. That's a skill 20 years ago, no one would have cared about.
Mm-hmm.
We care about somebody being in your face. We care about, you know, the Marcus Smarts, the Dylan Brooks, the Draymond Greens, the Pat Beverleys, you know, the Marcus Morris. We care about those guys. The Bobby Portises, like those guys are getting around because of I'm a goon. I don't mind getting in people's face. I don't mind taking a technical. I don't mind being a rah-rah guy. And I might not be the best on the team, but you can believe you're going to fill me in through another way. And I think Draymond is the ultimate. He's done that throughout his career, like to the best of his ability.
I think he has that innate understanding of the importance of controlling the message. Sometimes it's like, well, people aren't going to like this, but that's okay. He knows that. And then, you know, that's been one of the problems is when things go sideways and all of a sudden it's like when he's not controlling the message and he loses control of that, that's when he's gotten into problems. But my point is, I think I agree with you. He's smart enough to know how to do that better than a lot of people ever figure out. Now, what did you think of what Drape said? You and I are going back and forth on the Kings defense today. And your guy, he's your guy, right? Drapes is your guy.
Yeah, Drapes, you're my guy, too.
Yeah. Well, your guy, Kyle Draper, says the Kings could have the best defensive starting backcourt in the NBA.
Yeah, Drapes.
How about that?
Listen, Drapes, as we've heard over the last week or so, has done a fantastic situation of turning his life around, like in many different ways.
Yes.
But that air in Toronto's caught him. Something not right. And I told him that off the phone. I was like, dude, did you go out already? And he's like, nah, I've been waiting on you guys. I'm like, dude, the soda that they serving in
you're not buying that, huh?
No way. Come on now. In 3-4 games, they're going to be considered. He said this. They could be considered the best backcourt in the NBA. In 3 games? No way, man. Love him. But I told him off. I said, we got to talk about that tomorrow. There's no way in 3 games we're calling De'Aaron Fox and Keon Ellis. And if let me say this, if we are even thinking about this remotely, that just shows you how good Keon Ellis is defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And then let me also follow this with this, Whitey. What in the hell has Mike Brown and them been doing then? Why hasn't he played?
Yes, that's a good question. Boy, Drapes is just not going to give up that whole thing that he's been trying to tell me about Keon, is he? He's not giving that, you know, first like, oh, it's a joke, right? Oh, he's going back. He's playing that card again. All right, we'll deal with that. But I'm reminded here of years ago when Mark Jackson was coaching again the Warriors, not to spend so much time talking about the Warriors, but remember he said Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are the best shooting backcourt ever.
Yeah.
And I remember my first reaction was, get out of here. But then I remember thinking about it and going, so I do think what Kyle said about Fox and Keon Ellis being the best defensive backcourt in the NBA, I think it merits some consideration.
No, you stop it. Whitey, three. What you
then tell me right after, then who's better?
You can't, because right, I don't even, anybody. You don't have to compare. You can't compare Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, who had already been a year or two when Mark Jackson said that. Like, we could see these guys were elite.
Yeah. It had been a couple years, but I understand you're talking about, well, this is like
a handful of games. Right. You know, and that's my point of it is, if this is an elite backcourt, then we got a lot of explaining. We need to hear some explanations from the G1C and the coaching staff and why this is just now happening.
That's what Will was saying earlier.
Yeah, like this is,
you
that's
mean like
a
why
problem.
Haven't they played him sooner?
Right, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
What this would be a huge problem. Now, if they pan out to be, you know, the next 20 games and then next year, like, okay, let's start to talk about it. But I'm not going to jump on that wagon for 4 games. Not me.
My best guess of the answer is, I'm not saying there's a good answer.
Sure.
But I always try to figure out, all right, from their standpoint, what would the answer be? We touched on this earlier. You've got a team now that you're trying to actually get into the playoffs in advance with.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a clearer idea of what you have, you think. So you have this Keon Ellis guy's like, hey, he's shown some promise, but we're not sure. You don't want to take a chance on him until you have to. And that's what we said, right? They didn't really start playing him more until they really had to. And it's like, wow, we've got something here. Should they have known they had something? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Remember, yeah. Was it he played well and then they came home? Was it the Miami game or the Chicago game? It's like they didn't play him. So there already have been some indications, mm-hmm, like they should be playing him more.
Yeah.
And that hence some of the disagreements we've been getting into.
I
think that's a fair question.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why haven't they been playing him more? But better late than never.
That's better than they can be considered the best defensive backcourt in the league. Like New York has a great backcourt. Defensively. I'm talking about defensively.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think they play very good defense. I would probably say Phoenix has a decent back, you know, backcourt when it comes to their defense. Like, there's some good defensive teams. I see someone throw out Miami. You know, they're very good defensively. But, I mean, without even taking a deep, long look, we can't keep the purple colored glasses on Whitey for four games. We got to be real here. We need to see a little more. And if that's the case, then Keon is up the level so high that it is a problem that he was not playing. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone has a problem that Keon wasn't playing for a while.
Best defensive backcourt, well, of all time, Ron Harper, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Nate McMillan, Gary Payton. Yeah, I don't think we're anywhere.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say,
I'm going to put that away.
I thought you was going Ron Harper, no, Keon Ellis. I see where you go.
No. I just glanced at that. That's all I could find out.
Dale Ellis, yeah. IT and Joe Dumars, Dale Ellis and GP. You going that way.
I think the fact that a member of the team's broadcast team would even bring it up is progress. You know, a few years ago, I don't care who you were, if you worked for the team, you wouldn't have said, "I have the best defensive backcourt. Hey, Bano and whoever, you know, that's the best defensive backcourt in the NBA." So it's progress.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I respect that.
All right, we're back with you tomorrow. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it very much. Thank you for being with us. We're back tomorrow, an abbreviated show, getting you ready for the Kings and the Raptors. And stick around, because Golf to Go tees off next right here on Sacktown Sports.